Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
And over the years, through volunteers and his management company, over $10 million has gone towards instruments and scholarships
awesome.
For high school and college music students across the country.
I forget, are your kids band kids?
I will have one in band.
Yeah,
I had one in orchestra last year. And
you're going to need to contact Barry for some funds.
Yeah.
Because it's
nice
not
job,
cheap.
Barry.
Oh, for sure.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's your host, Vince Petrano.
11 minutes after 8 on this Wednesday morning, Wisconsin's Morning News. Michelle Richards in the house says Eric is off through the week. Vince Petrano here, taking you till 9 o'clock. If you do the grocery shopping in your house, you don't need me to tell you, it is expensive right now to shop for food. In the last 4 years, in the category of food we eat at home, prices are up more than 20%. Though the inflation rate in this category has slowed to a crawl, it's not for the most part getting less expensive than we were. It's just not getting more expensive at that fast rate, right?
Yeah.
Some of that is economics. Some of it is Mother Nature as well, as climate change is affecting growing regions and crops. Some staples are scarcer in supply than others. However, we're going to walk you through some alternatives today that can save you money. In the business, Michelle, we call it news you can use, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's get to it. Director of Community Relations for Outpost Natural Foods, Margaret Mittelstadt, is with us today. Great to see you again, Margaret.
Thanks. It's good to see you both, too.
So let's start with some of the things that cost more, and then you offer some workarounds. Your recent piece in the quarterly magazine called Grays really caught my eye because some of these workarounds have found their way into my cupboard at home.
Okay.
I didn't know why they were there, and now I know.
Now you know.
So we'll get back into some of that and the underlying issues for why it's so expensive at the grocery store in a moment. But you write that olives are getting more expensive, and thus olive oil getting more expensive.
Right.
As an Italian who uses a ton of olive oil in everything I do.
I know. This might be blasphemy to suggest otherwise.
Yes. Well, I saw avocado oil in our cupboard the other day. Let's go through what's happening with
there
olives and olive oil, and then this alternative.
Sure. So the olive growing region is typically in the Mediterranean areas on the globe. And what's happening with climate change is they're experiencing more high temperatures during growing season and drought, and that's affecting the yield. And the yield on olive trees and olives in general is down. And so you maybe, I mean, supplies, you know, are still okay, but it's going to start to affect what's going to be at the grocery store. An alternative to olive oil, you want something kind of fruity. I mean, that's what olive oil is really known for in flavor. Avocado oil is a nice alternative. It has sort of a fruity flavor to it, a little different. It does have a high smoke point, so you can use it for, you know, sauteing things and on your stovetop.
You can throw that in the iron skillet. It's not going to start
It's not going to burn up and turn to charcoal for you. Another alternative could be grapeseed oil. But, you know, we're looking for that, you know, the olive oil flavor is what, you know, is really what you know olive oil for. And so the avocado oil can kind of be a nice little substitute or a step in. Maybe you still have some olive oil, but you may want to, you know, switch off between the two here and there to kind of preserve the olive oil for the good things that the really, you know, smart dinners that you want to put together,
exactly
your salad dressings and things like that. But it's okay. I mean, either one, you can kind of switch around.
Yeah. So I was going to ask about salads. Like, a lot of people like to put the olive oil onto their salads just as is. So the avocado oil would be a good choice for that.
Absolutely.
Too.
All right. Definitely. It's in a lot of paleo diets right now, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Margaret Mittelstadt is Director of Community Relations for Outpost Natural Foods. You also wrote that, do I say it, cacao?
Or cacao.
Cacao. Uh-huh. The farms there are suffering from lack of water.
Right.
Cacao, cocoa, chocolate. Uh-oh.
I know, right? Man, that's sacred territory here. I mean,
yes.
I love chocolate. We all love chocolate. Chocolate yields are down too. And again, this is, because of the extreme weather events related to climate change and climate disruption. And so we were finding that the chocolate yield is down, quite significantly. And what we'll see in the marketplace is, a slight raise in price. For now. And the idea is to just kind of keep your eyes on things to mm-hmm. see if there's any changes in how that's going to show up for your pocketbook. There may be some price differences as we go forward. Maybe you'll see it even like with the holidays coming up, you know, Halloween and chocolate candies
sure,
and things
demand
like that.
Increases, right?
There could be some increases or changes. You may go and say, oh, this is more expensive than what it was last
year.
What
do we do instead then?
Well, okay, so I'm of the old school where, you know, the natural foods movement of yesteryear carob, it's not necessarily an acquired taste. So if you really, I mean, I look at chocolate as being an indulgence. I still do. And so if you're going to purchase chocolate, look for fair trade chocolate because, you know, fair trade is an international movement to ensure equitable trade for small-scale farmers. And small cooperatives. And so and oftentimes with fair trade farms, they are going to farm sustainably. They're going to look for methods to beat climate change, if you will, or at least work alongside with it so that you can still have a yield.
So it's a long-term plan.
It's a long-term right? plan, right. Yeah. So you're kind of looking in the future, looking to see like what might be going on with chocolate and cacao. That's one strategy to look for. So, you know, look for purchasing a higher quality chocolate and really treat yourself when you're going to buy chocolate.
The scariest one on the list to me is coffee.
Coffee.
I can't not have coffee. What is your alternative?
So coffee is, I'm sure some of your listeners have already seen some price changes with coffee, especially with the gourmet coffees and what you can do as an alternative, look for, like, try teas, okay? I know they're caffeinated, like roasted teas and things like that. So, like, Japanese green teas that might be roasted. It gives you that sort of that robust flavor. There are some products that are also in the market. One is called Tea Chino, which is a combination of a number of different plant ingredients that gives you sort of that robust flavor. It's not going to taste like coffee, but it gives you that feeling of you're having a nice, robust cup of coffee in the morning.
You described that really well of what I'm looking to get
okay,
out of coffee.
Because
I do both. Like,
yeah.
I won't drink coffee all day, so I've got some tea just to keep that going. But I always view that as something lighter, something whatever.
Right.
If you can deliver that, yes, robust is a great word for it.
Yeah, and because that's what we look for. And we look for the ritual behind making coffee, too. I mean, for some people, it's you get up in the morning, you make your cup of coffee, or you go to work and you pour it out of the carafe. There is sort of a ritual quality to that. It's part of a lifestyle. And so, you know, when you can brew something different, mm-hmm. But you can still have it in that same manner, it feels like a part of your routine is still intact. And you feel, you know, things are still whole in your mind's eye.
From Outpost Natural Foods, Director of Community Relations, Margaret Mittelstadt, is with us. Her article is Stormy Weather.
Yeah.
Talking about how these various crop yields are affecting our prices at the grocery store. One more for you. You wrote about sugar as well.
Right.
There are plenty of non-cane sugar alternatives that are still natural. We're not talking about bringing in the fake stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, honey is a great sugar substitute. I mean, we're fortunate in that we live in a state and we live in a country where there's a lot of pure honey that's not adulterated. It's really, really good. And there's a lot of different honey varieties from different flowers, depending on where the bees are pollinating. And so, I mean, good old honey. Don't forget about that. There's coconut sugar. So it's from the coconuts. You might get a slight little nutty flavor
to it. Does it taste like coconut?
It may taste a little bit like coconut, but it's not going to overpower like if you were having coconut. And you can use that in baking, too. So it comes in a powdered form. So you can look for alternatives on the market. Again, if you're, you know, wanting to, you know, pure cane sugar, look for fair trade. Fair trade certified sugar is, again, helping to make an equitable future for our small-scale farmers. But, yeah, there's definitely alternatives. You've got to look around, but you can find them.
Do you have an outlook long-term on what's happening with maybe not even necessarily these specific crop yields, but just in general? You know, I imagine with climate change, there are some areas that might benefit, that some areas might now all of a sudden we're growing things here that we didn't, or our growing season is extended. So we got to keep an eye on that.
It's true. And we're sort of in a no man's land, and a lot of growers are trying to adjust as to, you know, where do we move to if it becomes inhospitable to grow in the traditional regions that we're used to growing food in. A lot of these foods that we were talking about today are grown sort of in equatorial regions around the globe. Coffee is grown at slight elevation, but you want that warm climate, so warm days, cool nights. And so it's like, how can we, where can we find places to grow some of these products that are different than what is traditional? So, or there might be different strains that are more climate resistant. And a lot of food scientists are looking into that now, too.
Well, thank you for that news you can use this morning. Always good to see you. Margaret Mittelstadt is with Outpost Natural Foods. It's Gray's Magazine, and the article is called Stormy Weather. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
820 on Wisconsin's Morning News. 826 on Wisconsin's Morning. 826? Can you hear me? Is this thing on?
Yep, you're good.
We can all hear you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It seriously doesn't sound like you can hear me.
No, we everyone can hear you, I promise. You're on the air.
Okay.
I'm having the same issue.
Great show. We can't hear the in the studio. Like, there's no, or I don't know. It just sounds like you can't hear me.
Like, you can't hear the music right now?
No, I don't hear any music. No, oh, there it is. Nope, I don't hear any music.
Nope.
All right, well, you're on the air. You got to trust me with that one. So take
sure?
it away.
855-616-1620 is the WTMJ talk and text line. Confirm that we are on the air right now. For
great.
I don't believe you.
Trust us. You're on the air. Yes.
Just act like you are.
Okay.
It's fine.
Well, here we go. Best we can do. Hey, I want to bring this back up. Milwaukee County's new increased sales tax is the panacea, is not actually what it may have been as advertised. This is Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley. This is Crawley a year ago advocating for the 0.4% increase in the county sales tax, which he ultimately got.
We are not able to provide the programs and services that so many in our community, our most vulnerable constituents, absolutely rely on. And that's extremely important in why we needed the local option sales tax, because it not only addresses the scale, but it's also the cheapest option that we have available in making sure that we can fill the gap to provide these services.
So despite the sales tax in the county now nearly 1%, that gap persists. What was once a projected surplus for the budget year has not come to fruition. In fact, it looks like we could end 2024 in a multi-million dollar deficit. From the Comptroller's Office, Financial Services Director CJ Paul.
Here to present a not-so-pretty May fiscal report. As you can see, our fiscal condition has worsened to about a $9 million deficit. And unfortunately, I have worse news on the sales tax front.
Okay, wait a minute. There's worse news still. Please continue.
I have worse news on the sales tax front, which will likely push that deficit up by $8 to $10 million. Bringing that deficit closer to $17 or $19 million.
So that's Financial Services Director for the county, CJ Paul, addressing the County Finance Committee. Remember, to great fanfare, that deal was struck with state legislators. The county was allowed to increase its sales tax from 0.5% to 0.9%. And in fairness, I don't recall anyone saying it was going to fix everything. But you definitely had the feel that this is what the county was asking for, fought for, and got, and it was going to do something. Certainly not leave us in a $19 million hole at the end of the year.
Right. This was the plan.
And so why I'm particularly concerned about that is if you were hoping that this might bring about some property tax relief, not only is that not going to happen, but I don't think it's long before we start hearing county supervisors again, maybe quietly at first, saying, well, you know, we're in this hole, property taxes. You and I both live in Milwaukee County.
Yes.
I love living in Milwaukee County. I've lived in Milwaukee County literally my entire life, but for college and my first job. And I love the community in which I live, and I am willing to, because we know people pay lower taxes. You and I are both on the south side. You move 10 minutes further south for you and me, we could probably save a couple $1,000s a year
and that's
on our
huge.
Property taxes.
That's huge.
Right? You just go over the line into Waukesha. You're in Franklin. I'm in Greendale. Go in there to Muskego, and your property taxes are lower. A couple $1,000s, okay. But over 5 years, that's $10,000. Over 20 years, like start adding that up and it adds up. And if we get to a point, you got the wheel tax also, like you continue to feel like you're nickel and dimed. And then you have this tax that's been added that was supposed to solve the problem. And not only did it not solve the problem, but now it's worse. Uh-oh, alarm bells. I'm freaked out by this. A couple of things at play here. Maybe we're just not spending as much money. Maybe what is starting to feel more and more like a recession all the time is starting to kick in and people aren't buying or spending as much. So you're not going to collect that much more in sales tax. On top of that, too, if you have a big ticket item, one of the concerns was you create a sales tax island and people will go elsewhere for those big ticket items. So maybe that's happening. The other thing is Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office is on an unsustainable path, both financially and in terms of the men and women who work there, be it the courts, jail, corrections, the freeways. Like, they are wore out, and they are spending tons in overtime because they cannot remain staffed. And so that is a problem, and I don't see a way out for the sheriff's office in the short term. But it's concerning. You know, you've raised your family here and want to continue to do that, but this is not good news for the county right now. So something to watch as they begin crafting their budget for 2025 that is apparently going to look a lot different than supervisors and the county executive expected.
And unfortunately, I have worse news.
I did. I told him I don't know a lot of Barry Manilow and that I trust him. This is good.
I got a question. Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
That's about all I know of Barry Manilow. Is well, that line from Breakfast Club.
Well, Barry Manilow is coming to the Pfizer Forum on Saturday, August 3rd. But while he's there, he is going to award a Cudahy High School music teacher a grant, a $5,000 grant, plus Cudahy High School with $5,000 for new band instruments.
Nice.
So I didn't know that Barry Manilow did this. He has had this foundation, the Manilow Music Project Award Contest is what it's called. And students get to submit names of their favorite music teachers from different high schools. And they voted Alex St. Louis as the winner. But it all started, I guess, when Manilow's daughter had a friend in high school that needed a saxophone, and he was like, oh, well, why can't you have a saxophone? And over the years, through volunteers and his management company, over $10 million has gone towards instruments and scholarships
awesome.
For high school and college music students across the country.
I forget, are your kids band kids?
I will have one in band.
Yeah,
I had one in orchestra last year.
And you're going to need to contact Barry for some funds.
Yeah.
Because it's
nice
not
job,
cheap.
Barry.
Oh, for sure. That's awesome. All right, so that'll be here in Milwaukee, and that award to Cudahy. Very nice. Thank you, Mr. Manilow.
Questions?
Yeah, I got a question. Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
Give you the answer to that question, Mr. Bender, next Saturday.
Beast on stage now, and for one of the last times by a local theater group ahead of rights going back in the Disney vault. They do this from time to time. There's a national tour coming, so you won't see this on stage at the high school or in any of the local theater companies for quite some time. Greendale Community Theater is putting it on. Show runs through this weekend, and Beast is in the studio with us this morning, looking most unbeastly at the moment. Great local performer Sean Holmes in scrubs. From your day job, or well, as the
yes.
case may be, your night job.
Yes.
Great to see you, man.
Good morning.
So Sean is an ER nurse by day, or again, as the case may be, night.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How do you balance that, my friend?
When I can sleep. When I can. So you have to sneak it in there a few times.
Yeah, because you rehearse at night. I mean, because many people in community theater are doing day jobs, right?
Yes.
They're doing theater because they love it and
yes.
they want to be on stage,
yes.
but you're balancing that with, you know, your actual job.
Yes. So like you said, mostly the rehearsals are anywhere between, it could be 2 p.m. starting at 6 p.m. to like 9 p.m. or 10. And then most of the times when I do is I go right straight to work right after that, work till 7 in the morning, rinse and repeat.
Now, something I wanted to talk with you about, and I will point out also, Sean Michel has the distinction of having appeared with both Vetrano girls on stage
yes.
at one time or another. It was
awesome.
With Ella in Les Mis
yep.
at Waukesha Civic, and Olivia was
Shrek.
One of the, yeah, it was Shrek the Musical,
yeah.
one of the young princesses. So a couple of questions on dealing with young performers in a moment. But what I wanted to point out is, Sean, I've also seen you in professional theater as well. So how do you balance, like, in terms of which gig to take? Sometimes this one pays, sometimes it
yeah.
doesn't, sometimes you're out there working for free.
So I usually audition for shows that mean something to me or something that I'm drawn to, whether it's paid or not being paid. So if it's a show that I can see myself be a part of, I'm going into audition for
so
it.
So the Beast spoke to you.
The Beast spoke to me in his deep voice that he had.
I don't see the fits. No. Perfect.
Oh, but he ends up being a good guy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, tell me a little bit about the show, what you're enjoying about the role, and then you have a lot of talent on that stage as well. You look at the cast list, it's phenomenal.
Disney's Beauty and the Beast at Greendale Community Theater. I haven't done a show there since Shrek, and it's a good feeling to always to come back, quote unquote, home, and to be a part of a show that's so iconic with Belle and Beast and the castle characters. It's always a great feeling to see little kids dressed in like a Belle green or a gold costume, or have a guy with a Beast costume on too. It's always a good feeling just to be on stage and share that emotion and that journey with cast and crew that loves what you do as well.
I bet for a lot of them too, it might be their first ever theater experience, right? Yes. And you have the opportunity to give them that gift that will keep them coming back.
Yes, on stage and off stage. Our Chip is one of our music director's little son. I remember in Les Mis, he held him while playing the piano at one point and was just debuting his son to theater. And now he's on stage doing what he does best.
You anticipate any sing-alongs at all? Like the kids just getting all excited?
The time. There is one point in the last show that we did on Saturday. I don't know if you recognize it from the actual Disney animated show. He said my line before I did.
What?
And he yelled it. I was like, oh my God. But I couldn't show that on my face. I was like, yes.
Hang on. It's coming.
It's coming.
Oh, that's adorable though.
What's it like working with young performers though? As I mentioned, you know, both my daughters were so fortunate to have worked with you and fortunately, they have gone through first stage and had a little bit of training, but sometimes, especially if you're talking community theater, you're dealing with kids who've never been in that environment that you know so professionally.
Yeah. Like kids are sponges. They absorb and take everything as little as you do or as major as you do. And I try to make sure to be aware of what I'm doing, saying, or portraying. And I love to see that their eyes glow when they see the magic of theater be brought to life from the start of a audition process to the closing nights. And it's just amazing to be a part of that experience. So I can't complain. It's great.
Sean Holmes, local performer, is in studio with us. His show right now is with Greendale Community Theater, running this weekend, Beauty and the Beast.
I'll be there.
You're going Friday, right?
I'm going Friday.
All right. Is anybody dressing up? They might be a little old for that.
I don't think we have anything that still fits.
You'd be surprised. There's a lot of things that can happen. So you have some time to go get your golden dress for a bell size.
Sean, what else do you have coming up in the fall?
I have a few concerts coming up. One will be at downtown here. It'll be an Adele tribute concert. We'll be singing a part of that.
Fantastic.
At Waukesha Civic Theater. At Sunset Playhouse, they are doing musical main stage there.
Yeah.
So I'm part of two of their things. One is a Vegas themed, another one is a boy band themed. So you'll see me doing that.
Theater scene in general, music theater or straight, you know, straight Death of a Salesman, what have you, right?
Yeah.
How do you describe it in Milwaukee right now and in terms of the health? Where are we? Are we okay?
I think we're great. I think we're fine. The theater scene is thriving. We're still coming out of the sluggish era of COVID. But
still, right? Like, talk about any industry that took the longest time to get back up to speed. It's this one.
Easily theater, because now you have to bring everybody that was already coming to theater, bring them back. And now you have to draw new people to come see the shows as well. So it's a slow but up-trending process. So.
And we have options, too. I mean, you don't have to be always going to the big Broadway shows.
No.
I mean, we've got the Greendale Community Theater. We've got Forte is based in Franklin. My daughter was just part of one of their productions this past weekend. And we have choices.
You have choices. You have the community theaters. You have your regional theaters. Some people are streaming it online, but we prefer you to come in person. But yeah, options, always options there.
Affordable as well, as you mentioned, $18 for adults. Students and seniors are just $15 to come in and see Beauty and the Beast.
And there's a lot of talent on stage. There's a lot of singing on stage. You have a good time. And if you want to sing along, you can. If you want to come in the aisle and dance with us, you definitely can. So, yeah.
Sean, I really appreciate your work and your day job as well.
And my day job.
But always a pleasure to see you on stage. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
That's Sean Holmes, as we said, Beauty and the Beast, Greendale Community Theater. It's at the high school. Shows Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Be open for now. Let us see. Be our guest. WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
Storm Team Forecast brought to you by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Hot and humid today, high of 88 degrees. We keep the storm chances low through the day, then bring in a better chance for storms late tonight. Tonight, a muggy low of 72, temperatures in the mid to upper 80s through the weekend. Weekend looking mostly good at this point, Michelle. Mostly sunny on Saturday, high 87. Sunday's high 85 with just a slight storm chance. But as we say in Wisconsin, it's early yet. In terms of the forecast,
I'm going to be at the pool.
I'll take it, right? Hot. One more time, I want to share with you. Remember, we got a new defensive coordinator up in Green Bay. His name is Jeff Hafley. He's worked in the NFL. He was most recently a college head coach, but he hasn't experienced Green Bay Packers training camp in Green Bay. This was him the other day talking about how the fans have been.
Late, and I think people were tailgating in our parking lot at 9 o'clock at night. We ended practice at like 12:15. I mean, there was people tailgating in our parking lot at 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday. Practice had been over for 6 hours.
So,
right? Yeah, right. To us, it's like, yeah, that's what we do. And we sometimes forget that for these folks who are new to the Green Bay Packers, you're like, what are all these people doing here? It's practice. Yeah, well, there. He said he can't imagine what it's going to be like for family night, which is coming up already on Saturday. 10:30 practice is open to the fans in Green Bay today.